to defend, you have to know that there's an enemy. And oftentimes, I think, at least in this country, if you're a Christian, you may believe that there is no enemy, because we'll hear a lot of stories about saints being persecuted in other countries, and we'll think back to our circumstances, and we think we're fine. We've got it made. We'll believe and be fooled into believing that there is no enemy. But if you read this first verse of chapter 10, there's a lot that we can miss if we don't understand who Issachar is and what Ephraim means. I'll just read the verse again. And after Abimelech, there rose up to save Israel Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamir on Mount Ephraim. And the reference to Issachar is really insightful. If you turn to 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. And the children of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their bidding. We see from this verse that the children of Issachar were people who had understandings of the times and knew what Israel ought to do. This man here, this judge, Tola, had an understanding of the times. He knew and was conscious of the fact that there was an enemy. It's funny, we don't actually read about who the enemy was, but you better believe that there was one. And he had his guard up, and he was ready to defend. And it was mentioned about fellowship earlier, who you're with, person you're sitting next to, is this all you do with them? Who do you spend your time with? Where do you live, so to speak? It says he dwelt on Mount Ephraim. And Ephraim means fruitful. He was abiding in a place where there was fruit. He was abiding somewhere where you can yield something for God. We too often overlook where we go in this world and what we see. So we have to understand that the enemy can often be outside the home. The enemy can often be where we go. We have to understand where we are, where we should dwell, somewhere that's fruitful, where we can yield a lot for God.
John, just going along with your point, we read in Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning with verses 15. So see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. So I think that really brings it back to us. We need to realize that the times are evil, and be as men of Issachar and understand that, and as verse 18 says, to be filled with the Spirit.
So let me join these two points together, because you would think to yourself again, one verse about this man, and here all of a sudden we're getting wealth from the scripture. You know, he's the son of Issachar. The Spirit of God doesn't waste ink writing something that has no significance. It is people who know the time, the discernment, they know what's right and what's wrong. They are not Ninevite, don't know the right hand from the left hand. They know the time. They realize, they look around them and they said, this is evil time. And the verse that Andrew mentioned in Ephesians chapter 5, then what am I defending here? What I'm trying to protect? The time. Now, let me tell you something. And I said it when we were studying that with young people. There is one thing that never comes back. And that's time. 2 o'clock is not coming back. Today is at 2 o'clock, is gone. And it's not coming back. 5 minutes ago is not coming back. 5 years ago are not coming back. They're gone. Redeeming the time. Realizing that let's not, if we have wasted 10 years, if we have wasted 18 years, they're gone. They are not coming back. redeems a time. So what does that mean? I need to be like the sons of Issachar and wake up and realize, wait a second. I am 20, I am 15, I am 14, I am 30, I am 50, I am 100, whatever age you are. The time that are coming now is very precious commodity. What am I doing with that time? Am I understanding now and redeeming that time, buying it back, and use it for the Lord? This is a man here, who all we read about him, and as a result of that, he was a fruitful man. He was an Ephraimite. He was a fruitful man. When you use your time wisely, you will bring fruit. And when you don't, you will bring fruit. But what kind of fruit are you going to bring?
Was there anything significant about the fact that he was a son? I wonder if that doesn't play in as well to this. He's a son of Puah, son of Dodo.
Go ahead, David, because the time is going.
Well, I'm just thinking not just so much of their names, but just the matter of son implies element of maturity. There is someone who is developed, who didn't spend time wasting it, but was formed in features, certain features, the features of sonship. That's what we are. And we should be appreciating and developing such, so that there is an element of maturity. So we're supposed to grow from stage to stage. We should not be stagnant. And if as young people we remain in a state of stagnancy, then we will not be like a tola. We would not be understanding the times. We would not be in stages of development. So it's important that there is development. When it comes to things that are natural, we are very concerned about development. There are those of us who go to school. We want to get degrees. We want to get a good job. And so if we're not progressing in natural things, we would be very concerned. When it comes to the matter of spiritual things, we're content very often to remain in a mediocre state. But there should be maturity and development. And that's where I think the element of sonship comes in here.
Well, we had one of the very first things we talked about is that we're the second generation. Mm-hmm. But that's not just a bad thing or something we need to be a god of. That's a good thing. We have godly brothers and sisters that have gone on before us that we can learn from. We didn't really talk about Othniel. One of my favorite things about Othniel is he knew Caleb, one of the two who stood for God. Can you imagine what it was for him to learn at the feet of Caleb? And we are fortunate enough to have godly brothers, godly sisters who are above us, who are opening the word, who are helping us, who are teaching us, who we could approach, ask questions for, and we can learn. So as the second generation, we can waste that and have it mean nothing and say, well, I don't care what the older brothers and sisters have to say. I'm going to be my own man. And that's wasted. And I think that this, you know, when we're talking about the judges, we could even talk about Jair and say, what's the significant thing about Jair? Is he had these 30 sons who learned from him. Who learned from him. And it's a wonderful thing when we, the younger generation, can learn from the older generation, take it and apply it to our times and apply it to, you know, we can't depend on them completely forever, but we can certainly learn from their teaching.